Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's continue our teaching, the one we had last time. If you were here last time, you'll remember that we began to speak about the pursuit and the use of faith. All right? And I just want to repeat some things again and again because we can't say these things enough. Sometimes you'll be amazed at what you have said so many times that some people haven't heard them again, you know, yet, or assimilated the point. So that's why Ken Hagin said, where there's no repetition, people are not established. So we have to establish the saints of God in the truth of God by going over things again and again. Now, I'll try my best not to preach the whole message again, but let me just remind us of a few statements we made. I said, let's not ever forget, faith is a spiritual substance. You know, there's something I like about science. Being a science background person, I learned a lot about the way physical substances, quantities are. So that you see, sound is a form of energy. Are you getting my point? Electricity is a form of energy. Heat is a form of energy. And these things are interconvertible. In the same manner, a lot of spiritual traits we find, they are interconvertible. And the basic substance is what the Bible calls life. And that's that thing that was in Christ. So life in you can manifest as faith. What I'm trying to explain is the fact that these are spiritual quantities, which means that we can acquire them and we can lose them. And our responsibility as believers is to ensure that that faith, that spiritual quantity of faith, is up to par in our hearts. It's up to the correct level. It's important we remember the thing we said before when I talked about the fight against unbelief. And when I talk about total faith, I explained that God wants to do something does not mean it will happen automatically. If there is no faith in your heart, if faith is not mixed with the promises of God, you will not find manifestation concerning that promise on the earth. God wills something does not mean it will happen automatically. God may want you to prosper. He may want you to live long. He may want to heal your diseases totally. But except you activate those promises by faith, you will not find a manifestation. Our experiences are not automatically the will of God. The will of God has to be downloaded and converted. Like I call it 3D printing, like I was talking about it on Tuesday. For those who are up to date with technology, you know what they call 3D printing. You can have a template in heaven, and you have to 3D print the blessing on the earth. And the method by which you do that is through faith. He said the word preached did not profit them. Why? It was not united, mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. So it's very important for us believers to realize that it's not just what we feel or what we have experienced. It is the mixing of faith with the promises of God that lets us know what the will of God really for our life, all right, for our lives might be. That it's not just, I didn't get this, so God didn't want me to have it. My life was not like this because God didn't want it. No. God says, even if do I want your life to be like that, if it's not united with faith, it will not happen. So, the promise, the children of Israel, I am taking you out of Egypt into the promised land. But we read it from the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and into chapter 4, that the word heard did not profit them. It didn't bless them because faith was not available in their hearts. So that's why I've been teaching for a long time now on this faith matter. So that we will know, because I said something, I don't know which one of the messages, that even if God wants you to do something on the earth, listen to this, let me say it again. Even if God wants you to do something on the earth, that is, for example, you are a preacher, and God says, go and bless people with my word. Or you are a businessman. God says, look, go and build businesses and employ people and transform the nation and do things. Even though that's what he wants to do, he still requires you. He doesn't say, because I'm the one that you are doing it for, so it will not happen automatically, which is a mistake we make sometimes as people. We think that if God just wants something done, especially if it's for you, I'm doing it to God. You know, it's because of you I'm doing all of this, so God will just supply automatically. No, it doesn't work like that. When God sent Moses to go and deliver the people of Israel, on the way, because Moses not followed the rules, God himself said, I have to judge this man and kill him until he began to follow the rules. God did not say, just because I'm the one you are working for, therefore, no matter what you do, what I want done will still happen. No, it doesn't work like that. He puts the responsibility on us to activate the promises to obey him by faith. And that's why last time when we were reading from that Hebrews chapter 11, we read extensively, you find out that number one thing people did with faith, all right, was to obey God. God did not confer obedience upon them by force because it was his word they were supposed to be obeying. He said, if you are going to obey me, it must be by faith. People had to activate obedience by faith so that they can please God, even though God wanted them to please him. Very important. So if God says, do this, he's saying you still have to activate those promises by faith. And if you don't do it, you will be held responsible. The day of judgment, they say, did you fulfill the will of God for your life? Did you fulfill the plan of God that he had for giving you life? And the answer is, no, you did not. If you say, why? He said, because you were you not there when they jacked off well from 87 naira in one day. All right, and declared that from now on, fuel shall be a maximum of 145. Now, were you not there when he said that? Were you not there when dollar went from 120 in less than 24 months? We are buying it for 320. Were you not there? These are the reasons why we can't broadcast anymore. These are the reasons why we cannot, all right, do what we are supposed to do. And the Lord is looking at you. So when you are done, he said, 10 strokes, give him. All right, put him down. Put him somewhere at the corner. Don't let him have any mansion that they are all deceiving themselves that I'm reserving for them. Why? Why? Why is he not getting the proper reward? Because he didn't do the work. Oh, God, but I gave you excuses. Listen to me. Excuses don't work with God. And why he won't accept the excuses is that, listen, I gave you the promise. Why did you not activate the promise by faith? That is, activating the promise is your responsibility. You cannot say, because it is me that gave you the promise, it should come to pass if I wanted it. No, we must understand the mind of God. He says, this is your duty, it's my duty to activate the promises by faith. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So that what I'm trying to emphasize, that's why faith is very important. And that's why we have been looking at it again and again. I want to recommend again, please go and listen to this series, The Fight Against Unbelief. Because then I explain something. All right, there's something I used to think about before. We just all assume that darkness is the absence of light. Remember that? That's how most people look at it. That once you shine light, darkness runs away. And there's a lot of truth to that, but that's not the whole truth. We read from Genesis chapter 1 that when God said, light be, there was light. Then he came forth and separated the light from the darkness, which means that the presence of light does not mean darkness has gone. Do you get my point? There must be a deliberate effort to separate light from darkness in our lives. And this is how it happens. I mean, in physics now, they've discovered what they call dark matter. Dark matter is out there. That's just the reality. You have to deliberately separate light from darkness. What is darkness? And that's why Paul had to explain, what relationship has light with darkness? Come out from amongst darkness and be separate. That is, there is possible for darkness to exist with light. We just assume that once you find light, darkness must be gone. No, it doesn't work like that. What you do is that if you find light, then you deliberately kill darkness. Light comes in, darkness tries to choke it. That's just the way it works. Now, I'm going to explain something here. So you find out that faith and unbelief, they are not just, it's not as if once there is no faith, then that means there is unbelief. No, faith can be there. And unbelief is coming to kill it. And that's why we did this series, The Fight Against Unbelief. That the unbelief is a force in itself. Unbelief are the reasons why the thing that God said, this is understanding you have of why they should not come to pass. That's unbelief. You have to fight against it. Alright? So, please go and listen to that series again. But now we are talking about faith. How do we get this faith? That's what we've been talking about. Faith, I've explained, is a spiritual quantity. It's something we can measure. It flows. Faith is not, let me say it again, it's not a method. It's not if you declare 10 times in the morning, it means you have faith, all right, and things will work. It is possible for you to declare 100 times, and it is not a manifestation of faith, because the fact that you are speaking does not mean faith is inside the heart. It is faith that is inside the heart that gets the results. It is just that when faith is in the heart, one of the manifestations of faith that's in the heart is talk, is with the words that we speak. So I'm going to emphasize again, faith is not a method. Faith is not the mechanism. Faith is a real spiritual substance which we can, as it were, go to fetch. We can decide, let me take a cup of faith and drink it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You can take a cup of faith and drink it. And when faith is inside your heart, then when God says something, it makes sense to you. I don't know whether I get the point. It's the ability to accept what God has said. When it's inside your heart, when the word comes, it mixes with faith, then it profits you. If the word of healing comes,
and it enters into you and it finds faith in your heart, it automatically becomes medicine and it cures all your ailments. If the word of God comes and it meets faith in your heart, it becomes prosperity for your soul. If the word of God comes, it meets faith in your heart, it becomes protection for you in the time of difficulty. Let me explain something here. Listen. If what God wanted to do will happen, whether you are afraid or not, God wouldn't bother saying, fear not. Please, I hope you are following me. If you fear, what God will do in your life will not happen. And that's why he starts his conversation to those who are afraid, fear not. Then that says, only believe. Are you getting my point? Because fear can hinder what he wants to do. Listen to what I'm saying this. The blessing that God wants to pass to you, even in the midst of an adversity. Because for you as a believer, even adversity has a blessing. Are you getting my point? That's why Habakkuk said it, even if oil price goes up, I must rejoice in the Lord. You know what I mean? I must rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. I must be happy. That's why Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Anytime the Bible says something twice, it means it's very important. I'm going to read Job. Joseph said that to Pharaoh. How many times did you say you dreamt it? Two times. One about stock, the other one about cattle. He said, that means God wants to do it quickly. So when God says rejoice, again I say rejoice. No matter the news you hear, you must break forth with rejoicing. Even Jesus said, when you see calamity around, still rejoice, look up, your salvation is near. Your redemption draws near. Why am I saying all of these things? Because if we don't deliberately, all right, walk by faith, what God wants to do will not happen. And then we'll go down the way everybody said we'll go down, and we all say we said so. We look at it as proof that we were right. No, what we actually did is by our response, we inactivated what God wanted to do. I hope you are getting my point here. That's why we are going over it again and again. This faith matter is crucial. Do you get my point? Now, this point we made last time, okay? Having said that, is remember, faith has a reason. We read from the book of, that is what God designed it for, why he's giving it to us. We read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Let's not bother to open to that now. But if we read that, you will see that the summary of it was that people used faith to obey God. It was a stimulus for obedience. It was not the way by which they met their own needs. Are you getting my point? It was the way by which they obeyed God. It was the way by which they executed the purpose of God for their lives. And it was the way by which they activated God's promises. Examples we have is that we say that Abel, by faith, offered up a particular sacrifice with which he pleased God. Noah, by faith, he prepared the ark of God, all right, with which he saved his family and the animals that were with him. Abraham left a responsible, civilized society for a nomadic life, and the Bible says it was by faith. By faith, all these people obeyed God. Moses, his parents, remember, we said they obeyed the visions of God, which an angel obviously gave to them, and then they hid Moses. Moses, when he went into the wilderness, it wasn't out of fear. We said it was because of faith. It wasn't as if he was afraid of Pharaoh. He was walking by faith. We saw how Rahab, all right, by faith, she obtained deliverance for herself and her family. These things were poured into their heart, or faith was poured into the hearts of these people. And by that, the promise of God was activated. That is what faith does. Faith is not something you just get up and use to get the kind of results that you want. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. All right. Remember last time I emphasized that there's a difference between spiritualism or spiritism and spirituality. And that's the point I'm going to take off from. What is spiritualism or spiritism? Which one do we use? Let's choose one. Spiritualism. Oh, spiritism. Now you've caused more confusion for me. All right. Oh no, I've used spiritualism in another message before. So let's use spiritualism. Now, let me just emphasize to us again what I mean by spiritualism. I discussed this last time, I just want to summarize in a few sentences. The fact that you're operating spiritual principles and you are getting results does not mean God is working with you. The reason is because God has already set certain issues in life, he already set certain laws, and you can activate and use those laws to get things. And we took our example from the book of Genesis. We saw that when these people wanted to build the Tower of Babel, build the city and the tower, God said, since they are united, that's one spiritual principle, unity. All right? He said it will not be, nobody will be able to stop them from doing that which they have imagined. Second spiritual principle, imagination. He said, so if human beings put three things together, one, imagination, two, unity, and three, effort into what they want to do, it will happen. And God said, even I would not be able to stop it. He said, so what do I need to do? I have to break one of these principles out of their lives, all right, so that the thing will not work for them again. So he said, which one do we break? Is that of unity. So let's go and scatter their tongue. So what God did was to give them different languages so that they didn't understand each other anymore. Their purpose in life began to change. One man will say, let's go to the left. Another one says, it is right that we should go to. That was what made it impossible for them to build that tower. But if God did not do that, and the people had continued in unity, if the Lord didn't do that, and they had continued with their imagination, and they now put their effort into what they wanted to do, the fact is that they will have built the tower, and they will have built the city. That's the fact. So we said last time, the fact that we are getting a particular result is not proof that that's what God wants us to do. So how do we differentiate it? That's where we stopped. How do we differentiate it? It's simple. God's word must be our imagination. God's word must be our meditation. Because what people sometimes, when they are trying to practice spiritualism without realizing, is that they take your meditations away from the word of God. They take your imaginations away from what God has said, or the visions or the plans that God granted for you to know. They take those things away, and as a result, what you now focus on are other things apart from that. For example, they now say, draw a picture of the girl you want to marry and put it on the wall. The girl is not the word of God. That has left spirituality and has gone to spiritualism. So you see, that picture, if I take a picture of the car I want and I put it on the wall and I start looking at it every day, let's be careful that we don't start worshipping things. Listen, anything you are focusing on every day, it has become your worship, object of worship. Somebody now says, put a picture on the wall every day and be looking at it. You put the picture there and you look at it every day. The truth is that eventually the thing will come to pass. And that's why we make the mistake. We now start testifying that it came to pass. It means that it works. And I'm saying it works does not mean it's God. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. It is not everything you think about that God accepts. For example, the people in Babel, they were thinking of the tower and they were thinking of the city. Those imaginations were not acceptable. Even though the Lord said it will come to pass. Why are we saying this? Faith was not given to us. The knowledge of spiritual principles, all right, wasn't given to us so that we'll be able to execute just anything we want. No. Faith, we saw in the scriptures, was used to activate the promises of God, to obey God, even if what he's telling us to do doesn't seem good to our body. We don't feel like doing it. But by faith, we'll go to the cross, even though the cross looks like a difficult thing. That's what faith does. When we operate spiritualism, we end up in life oftentimes walking away from the will of God. I have seen people that had horrible with a capital H marriages. All right? I've seen them. And when you look at the woman the man got, it was exactly what he asked for. I want her to be from this particular local government. She came from there. I want her to be this particular height. She was that height. I want her to have this particular kind of body. She had it in abundance and extra. So that if the man wanted to testify, he would say to you, this was exactly what I began, all right, to imagine. And I focused on it until it crystallized. The thoughts of my heart became flesh. Spiritual things becoming flesh is a principle. When you want to form thoughts and ideas, base them on God's word. So that if somebody says, why is it that you are doing this or you are asking for this, you will say, because it is written. Without realizing this particular principle of spirituality and spiritualism, do you know, just as I'm saying it, I realize that if you've read my book, Should I Say Yes? I explain the principle inside there. I never asked God whether my wife would be tall or short, fat or slim. It was not discussed. I had three principles, 3 points, which I asked God for. And they were things that you couldn't paint on the wall. I said to the Lord, please,
One, my wife, I didn't ask God, please, I want to marry a Christian. Why should you ask God you want to marry a Christian? I don't know whether you're getting my point. What were you going to marry before? It's like saying, God, please make sure the wife you are giving me is not a chimpanzee and it's not a gorilla. I don't like giraffe. They are too tall for the building. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Is that a valid prayer point? That the girl will be a Christian was not a prayer point. I can't pray such prayers. If I pray it, I should be flogged. Say, Lord, as I'm coming to you, I want to ask you, give me a Christian wife. God said, hey, I forgive you Boko Haram wife. I mean, those are not prayer points. Christian people be, let me say that, Pastor, pray for me that I'll marry a Christian husband. I said, Pastor, pray for you. So the issue is that if I didn't pray for you, what will you marry? A Hindu husband. That was not a prayer point. As a matter of fact, that was not a prayer point. First prayer point was, Lord, I want somebody who loves the word. Because the truth is that most believers don't. They don't. They aren't so much into religion. Have you gone to church on Sunday? And if they see you at home on Sunday morning, they will think you killed Jesus again. That's crossover service. 31st into 1st. If you are not in church, they say, that guy, I don't understand him at all. Me, I'm not marrying him. Meanwhile, this guy you are looking at, in the last 10 years, I don't think I've attended more than 3 cross night services in 10 years. Crossover services, I don't think I've done more than 3 in 10 years. 3 in 10 years. How did I manage? Telling you the truth. Why don't you go? I have not understood the magic of January 1. I just have not understood it. If I want to stay overnight, it should be on my best day. So this is my new birthday, must not meet me asleep. I pray into the new year. Now, I'm trying to say something. So most Christians, listen, the truth is that they don't love God's word. They are very religious. So I said to the Lord, please, none of that for me. And I said, the sign that somebody loves the word of God is how the person goes for it. Mike Mudor said, pursuit is a proof of desire. You can't sit at home and say, I love the word of God. Where will it come from? You know where they are serving it. But you can't climb 3 stairs, a flight of stairs. That place is too high. Why is your pastor not teaching by the roadside? People give you all kinds of excuses. So I said, no, Lord, let's not even go near there. Secondly, now, I'm not here teaching on marriage, all right? But just let's explain some principles. I picked another principle. I said, I saw generally in the society, the society lied to us and said, man and woman, they are equal. Pastor Vanka, you see, some people are inferior to others. I didn't say so. Girl and boy are equal. Husband and wife are not. Did you catch that revelation? While you are yet single, you are equal with all the brothers in your fellowship. Once you marry one of them, of course, Buhari and me, are we equal? Yes. He's a man, I'm a man. He has a head, I have a head. But when he's coming to town, they close the road. When I'm going to town, they don't close the road. I join the ghost load like everybody else. Why? He occupies an office I don't occupy. He is the head of state. That's all. There's nothing, it's not as if he's spiritually superior to me. No, he is the head of state. Yesterday I was in my office, we're having an exam, and my dean walked in. And we all stood up to greet him. Before he became dean, he's on the road. Oh boy, how now? That's how we used to greet. We just shake his hand. We talk normally. But once he became the dean, when he entered the office, we stood up to greet him. And some of the people there, standing up to greet him, all right? We're older than him, but he's the dean. So you just respect the office. According to the Bible, he's the ruler of the people. That is why this equality thing, know how to fight. Look, single boy, single girl, they are equal. Husband and wife, they are not. Why? Husband and wife is not a human being's name, or they are not human beings' names. There are offices. So, again, I looked and I said, Lord,
All these your daughters, I love them. But anyone that's disrespectful by nature, that will not change, please spare me. I don't have the time. I asked the Lord, read my book. Should I say yes? I said it inside there. My second, that was the third. The second was that this one that I'm called to ministry. If your wife does not believe you are called, believe me, you are going to have problems. You will have problems. I was teaching in Wari where I'm coming from. I said, ministry is sacrifice. Don't say because I was an oil company worker, I resigned, I began to preach, so ministry must pay me what I was being paid in my oil company. No, jobs have changed. Now, what am I going to say? If your wife does not believe you are called, and you dare reduce the family income because you say you have a calling, I hope you're getting my point. So I said, Lord, please, my wife must believe that I'm called and I can teach. And there's nothing as bad as somebody you're supposed to teach who thinks that she should be the one teaching you. You finish talking, you say, I've heard what you said, but this is my viewpoint. Just know that you're in trouble. You're not going anywhere. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Those were the ideas I formed with God's word, not because not personal desire. As per, I like my wife to be this height, it's not in the Bible. It has nothing to do with your calling in life. It doesn't have it. So when you draw a picture and put it on the wall, you are engaging in spiritualism. Your desires are not formed by the word of God. The difference between spiritualism and spirituality is that one is formed by other ideas, one is based purely upon the revelation of the word of God. But what we are teaching is that let's be careful. Because if we focus our minds, if we focus our thoughts, all right, on things, they will come to pass. And when they come to pass, every trouble attached to it will follow. How do we practice spirituality? It's simple. The meditation is not on an object, it's on God's word. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We pass everything through God. I said something last time. When you hear a man went to a Babalawo and he got results, he practiced real spiritual laws. The only thing is that they bypass the person of Christ. Are you getting my point? They do. They bypass the person of Christ. And that's one thing about life. Anything you want to interpret from God's word, make sure it's interpreted through the person of Christ also. That is when you are practicing true spirituality. Can I draw my desire on the wall? I don't think so. You present your desire to God. Let your request be made known to God. What do you put on the wall? It's in the scriptures. This word that I'm commanding you today shall first be in your heart and your mind, and you shall sharpen and wet them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. One of the things you do, you write them on your doorpost. You want to put something on the wall, is the word of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, your focus, your meditation every time must be God's word, nothing else. I've heard people say that you meditate and say, in 10 years, this is where I will be. And every day you think about it. Wake up in the morning, think about it. In 10 years, I'm going to do this. Think about it, think about it. I'm just telling you stories. I'm here to teach you today. God is tired of it. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. God didn't give you dates. You can't set the date. You read all kinds of books. That's Steve Covey. Give me names. Anthony Robbins. Napoleon Hill. There are a lot of them there. And they teach you these principles. And they come and tell you, everybody, look, even unbelievers know it and it works. If unbelievers know it and it works for them, it's spiritualism. For it to be true spirituality, only by faith in Christ do we download the grace. I hope you are getting my point. Yes. They will teach you, have business plans, put it on the wall, and look at it every day, and begin to speak to yourself, this is what I will accomplish. Is it evil in itself? No, it's a natural law of life. It does not tap grace for you. It's a natural law of life. It doesn't bring grace into your life. It doesn't help you discover what God wants you to do. In fact, that focus can take you away from what God wants you to do. If I write that on the wall every day and start saying that this ministry has the biggest church in town, and I've got Bishop, I call Bishop, design for me the finest cathedral. Acoustically perfect. Aesthetically impeccable. Draw it. Make it look like it's on the Temple Mount. Yes, he will do it. He will draw it. Give me the 3D of it. I will put it on the wall, on the table. Every day we look, I walk around it.
this thing you will come to be. You will come to pass. Don't worry, you are going to come to pass. You know the truth? You know the truth? What will happen? It will come to pass. But that may be your grief. When it finishes coming to pass, God will have prepared a very nice sepulcher for you in the what they call the antrum. As you enter, I say, that's where Pastor Banky was buried. It will come to pass, but God said, that's going to be at the cost of your life. Why? I didn't pour my grace to bring it to pass. Be careful the dream you focus on every day. Faith was not given to bring to pass your own personal dreams. Do Christians have desires? Yes. What do they do with desires? They present them to God. What do they focus on every day? They focus every day on the word of God. They activate God's promises. You know the truth? These things are very tempting. When the man starts telling you, I believed God for this car. And every day I was looking at it, I was declaring, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. After 18 months, it came to pass. You're tempted because, you know, human beings generally, we like to have control. You know, we like to have control. Have you ever, if you're a driver, you know what I'm saying. If you're not used to people driving you. When you are driving in your own car, you'll be over speeding. 150 kilometers an hour, you feel comfortable. Then somebody else is driving at the same speed. Say, why are you over speeding? You know the difference? Now you are not in control. When you had control, you saw nothing wrong with the speed. That's human nature. We like to have control. We like to say, this is the kind of car I want, and I get it. But one of the things God wants to do in our lives is to make us lose control. Give him the control. Listen, I've experienced it in life. It's not only what you ask God for that he gives. Many things you didn't ask for, he gives. Solomon did not ask for money, he got it. Solomon did not ask for long life, he got it. Solomon did not ask for the life of his enemies, he got it. Why? Because he asked God for the right thing. Let's bear it in mind. It's not only what we ask God for that he gives. And that's the discipline of Christianity. For us to be able to allow God to actually control our lives and control our destiny. Except God gives a clear-cut revelation that go build this ark, like he said to Noah. You don't draw anything on your wall. Except he gives a clear-cut diagram to Moses. You don't draw any temple on your wall. What do? You build the normal altar we are used to. Offer a normal sacrifice we are used to. Give God thanks and worship him and walk. Just leave it there. Go about your everyday business. Let me say something to you again. The major problem we have is that we don't realize two things. Well, one thing, actually, two ways. That God thinks and he has a plan. We often look at that God's only plan is holiness. I don't know whether you get my point. The only plan for your life is that you will not commit adultery, you won't work in fornication and lying and cheating. Beyond that, he doesn't know how to plan businesses. As for businesses, that's left to the business school, to Dangote or Tedola. Alright? So that is why we are so eager to buy business books. We don't realize that God actually plans businesses. Let me say something to you. God actually has an investment he wants you to make, which you don't know about yet. God knows the next technology. You know, the other day, my wife and I were talking about these things at home. He said, in this life, there's no plan you can make. Because we drove past somewhere, and we saw businesses that are closed. Are you getting my point? I said, this business was thriving, you know, until this road was built. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Then the road bypassed that area, and this one's closed. Now, wow. You know, I told you before that, we all know anyway. We all know the story of Nokia. Nokia was one of the most profitable companies in the world. The MD actually committed the sin of Nebuchadnezzar. And God shut them down. When Apple started with smartphones, he made the statement that we decide the direction of telecommunications in the world. He made the statement that we decide the direction of mobile telephony on this earth. You know why? He thought that Apple... When Apple released, the iPhone, it was expensive. He was so sure
that nobody is going to make smartphones commonplace. Apple did not release the first smartphone. You must understand that. Nokia has smartphones. How many people remember Nokia Communicator? Nokia Communicator was a working computer. But nobody factored in the fact that the Asians were going to bring in low-priced smartphones. Once that one came into the picture, Nokia died. Why am I saying this? God plans businesses. God can tell you, say, all your shares in Nokia, sell them. Meanwhile, you are written on the wall that in 10 years, I'm going to build my shares in Nokia to this particular level that I will become a director of the African wing. But God just said, my girl, come. In 2 years, thus says the Lord, this company shall be no more. There is no way human beings can plot anything. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm making. It is just totally impossible. I'm making an issue here. Don't think that God only knows how to plan holiness and how to walk in righteousness. No. God writes business plans. And eyes have not yet seen the one he wrote for you. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm making. Eyes haven't seen the one he wrote for you. Now, if the whole world is making us make Steve Jobs look like as if he's a genius that the world hasn't seen before, I laugh about the whole thing. You know why? Just give it another 5 years. Apple will struggle to survive. Just watch it now. Why? I don't know. God brings another technology. And in that technology, phones as powerful as the iPhones of today will be going for $100. It will become so cheap, the company will not be able to make $5 per handset. Do you know somebody can wake up tomorrow? Why am I talking business? Do you know the country can write a law? Outlaw, they can just decide that only you using OS is anti-competitive. Do you know that? You using iOS, they can just decide. Government will just, the way God does things, somebody will just make noise. How come other phones can't go to the iTunes store? It goes to court. The court decides that this is wrong. They will fight until they get to Supreme Court. Supreme Court will side with the government and say it's anti-competitive. So from now on, every iOS release must be available to at least two other companies. And the moment you do that, that's the Chinese people will come in and finish your whole life for you. That is. You know why? God rules in the affairs of men. Why am I saying all of these things? So you see, we really can't plot. That's my emphasis. We can't. But we can allow God to choose our inheritance. We can. You know, I'm going to say the same thing in two ways. Remember I said that. First, we think God doesn't think. Secondly, we don't realize that the world is actually alive. What does that mean? When I speak God's word and I meditate on it alone, and that's the only thing I paint on my wall, it can give me the best wife that I did not even realize was available on the earth. I did not draw her on the wall. It can get me the car I did not know I could afford. Why? I didn't draw a particular photograph on the wall. I just presented my needs to God. When I'm praying for something, I've learned that one over the last few years. Even though temptations have come to change your mind, say, why you haven't got to, you did not focus. I say, I refuse to focus on anything but the word of God. And be careful as believers, focus only on Christ. Paul made it clear, I've presented nothing for you to focus on, apart from Christ and him crucified. This is how I make my request known to God. I decide what the real request is. What am I real request? Assuming I need a car. Like Chris Delvan said, God doesn't give cars, God gives transportation. So that if you are not going anywhere, he won't give you. It's only if you need to move from one place to the other. I want to digress. Can I digress? I told you that we're just coming from worry. We finished the meeting. The pastor said nobody should follow Pastor Banky to greet him. He announced that no, please, any information you need, we'll supply. Let him go. We rushed downstairs. And Yinka was driving like, because we must get here, we must get back here. We are supposed to travel again tomorrow. Just that things changed a bit, all right? Otherwise, we will drive 4 hours tomorrow for me to go and preach for 1 hour. And then drive back on Monday for another 4 hours. That's why men fly private. Yes, And God, you must understand something with the Lord. 5,000 naira to him is exactly the same value as $5 million. Like if you put 5,000 here and $5 million here, God can't see the difference. Because with a breath, he produces each one. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And back to what I'm trying to say about how I make my request. So I make my request these days based on the real need. I don't know whether I get the point. Based on the real need. If I need to move about, my request is based on, Lord, I need to move about. So I'm asking you for a car. These are the things I want it to do. I found out that God knows models of cars I don't know. It is this spiritualism that says, except you name the model, God can't bring it. It's not true. God thinks. The world thinks. The world is alive. The car I drive till today, when I bought it, you know the way the country has been for a long time. Most people buy used cars, you know that. It didn't cross my mind not to buy a used car. It didn't, that is, how do I say, the idea did not pass through my mind. The car I was using was giving me issues, and I just decided that I need to change. In fact, that time I was not even thinking about it much. I just said, this car, behave now, repair today, tomorrow fail again. Ah! The one brother was driving behind me when we went to Benin. So he saw my car always stopping on the road. So he said, sir, why is your car being like that? I said, my guy, I need to buy another car. Why have you not bought it? I don't have money. He just said to me, oh, my company, we can help you buy one. They have a cooperative. He said, our interest rate is very, very low. I said, eh. Except that they only buy brand new cars. They don't, you know, they issue LPOs to the company that supplies cars. So if I wanted them to help me buy a car, the only thing they could do is to deliver a brand new one to me. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That was the only one that I could reach. The guy said, you want us to buy a car for you? We give you brand new. These are the terms. The terms were very, very doable. They said, pay this amount up front. I could afford that one, so I gave it to them. Listen, you know I'm telling the story? I never prayed about it. Then if you told me buy a Kia, I said, no, I don't want a Korean car. Now I so love it, I'm asking God for another one. I don't know. Are you getting my point? Let nobody tell you that God does not think that you have to focus and tell him exactly what he must give to you. Listen, the wife that you need, you don't even know that's the kind of woman you need. The husband that you need, you don't even know such men are good. Right now, you are still thinking that, no, my husband must be able to preach. And God say you. See, because you join choir, they told you that every choir leader has a pastor as a husband. It's a lie. I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. I'm emphasizing the difference between what? Spirituality and what? Spiritualism. What is spirituality? True spirituality, listen, we drop our request to God and we allow him to do some thinking. Well, in fact, you know, the pastor that we went to preach for, when we got there, he said, that was yesterday. He said, sir, they didn't give me the visa. I said, good for you. He wanted to travel to UK for something. So he told me some time ago that he's applying for a visa. I said, okay, fine. And I said that they didn't give him the visa. I said, good for you. He was laughing. I said, you see, God knows that you travel too much. I told him straight. I said, you travel too much. So the good Lord denied you the visa. Even though he was going for a Christian conference, God just said, no. And he has gone to many countries. I said to him simply, listen, the Lord God just did you a favor. You are not going anywhere. Listen, my brethren, God thinks. Yes. Let's not have the impression that he only knows how to think about righteousness. He only knows how to think about holiness. And in heaven, all they do is sing and play trumpet. When you wake up in the morning, say, worship session. Worship the Lord. We'll sing afterwards. We'll go and eat. The night we get up again, we'll sing some more. That's the reason why we think we have to do all the thinking for the Lord. Let me say this to you. Before they built the temple, the tabernacle, ordinary tabernacle in the wilderness, God showed them a perfect plan. He showed to Moses and said, go down and build exactly according to this pattern. Read the Bible again. From heaven, David downloaded a plan and handed it to Solomon. This is how you will build. If I said it, you surprise a lot of people. The design for these phones you have in your hand, these smartphones, they didn't come from human beings. Men discover the mind of God and they drew it. So when we are saying that faith is not to get what you want, no, we are saying that faith helps you get the thing that God really wants you to do, which you cannot even think about. It is not possible. You don't have the capacity to conceive what God wants to do in your life. So that's why God doesn't like you making a plan, putting it on the wall, staring at it every day. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Understand that the Lord thinks. Understand that he has a plan. Understand that he's trying to work out his plan in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. These things you have drawn, you have kept, the 10-year projection you have made, is your own understanding. You know what he said? Don't lean on it. Let me explain something briefly before I finish quoting that scripture. You know the truth? There's a way I preach. There's a way I do my preaching ministry. All right? I almost always, 8 times out of 10, I go up with a message in my heart. Are you getting my point? Like today, I came with one. I have it here. I have not yet read one line of it. I'm going somewhere. Now, 8 times out of 10, I come with a message, which I already wrote down. That is not detailed. I do sketches. My message, I can put down like 5 bullet points. That's my message. 5 bullet points. That's how I do. Now, I have realized another thing. 9 times out of 10, I don't preach that message. That's experience. 8 times out of 10, I come with a message prepared. 2 times out of 10, I don't know have anything more than the first line. When I get up there, I'll read the scripture. From there, we'll pick it up. I do that. But most times, I have something in mind I want to do, to preach. Most times, when I get there, that thing I have prepared, I don't preach it. Now, after preaching regularly for some 15 years and more, irregularly before that, but on a regular basis, 15 years now, you will have thought by now, I should have learned that there's no point to prepare. I don't know whether you get my point. But you know the truth? I can't do that. I still come prepared every day, as much as possible, 8 times out of 10. But I never lean on what I prepare. That's what I'm going to. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. I don't lean on it. I have it, so have your 5 years plan is good. But do not lean on your understanding. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? Yes, have the plan, no problem. But don't lean on it. Once it starts scattering, stop sticking with it that this is how we planned it. It must be like this. No. He said, trust in the Lord that when he has to scatter your plan, he will do it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's the consequence? He will direct your paths. You know what that means? My Bible literally says, he will make your path straight. If you have a modern translation, it will tell you, that's Proverbs chapter 3 there. It will tell you that he will make your path straight. You know what that means? It means as you are walking, he will close the door. Now, imagine now you are driving. What makes your path straight means to convert what was crooked and had many branches to one single narrow lane. Are you getting my point? And how does it do it? You get to a junction. You are coming from here. There are 4 roads taken up from that junction. He will close 3. Say, that one, I don't like that road. Let's just use this one. It looks tired. It looks like the kind of road you travel on it for 2 minutes. You don't want one to three kilometers. You get to the other end. What do you find? Failed portion. Danger. Bridge collapsed ahead. You turn back. How many roads remain? You don't like the road, though. But this road is obviously working. And you can't go back to where you are coming from. What is the natural thing? You will follow that road. Sometimes you say, let me turn back to the other road. You hear that road, they've removed the bridge after people crossed. So only one road remains for you, that one. That's what it means when you say he will make your path straight. But this is the problem people have a lot of times. They have already planned that this is how we will go. When they get there, the Lord closes the road. They say, we will knock it down. We will bulldoze our way through. We are people of faith. We know that if we have determined something, it must be exactly the way we said it must be. What are they doing? They are leaning on their own understanding. I told you a man came to me once. He applied for visa first time, denied. Second time, denied. Third time, a man said, let me help you. Are you getting the point? And the man said, all right, what I will do is that I will help you like this, like this, like this. So the day he applied, he called the man's office to say, okay, sir, my visa interview is tomorrow. They say, you did not hear? The man died yesterday. And he came to me and said, what do I do in my mind? What do you want God to do for you to get the point? He obviously has closed this road again and again and again. I think it's time for you to go back home and think, am I on the right road? This is a fact about life. If you insist on that road, we've explained that earlier, eventually it will open for you. If you insist on that road, eventually it will open for you. But listen, this is the word of God. It will never bless you. At the end of the day, it becomes a trap. It becomes a trap. That's why I said, you can make your plans. Nothing wrong with plans, but please don't put it on the wall. That's why I told, gave myself as an example. Anytime I'm going to preach, I have a sermon, outline, drawn. Just a sketch. But my experience is that majority of the times, something between, yes, up to 9 times out of 10, I almost never follow that thing. And I have relaxed over time. I learned from experience. I learned it from experience. I know, you know, when you're talking, if you're a preacher, you know when grace is flowing. You know when grace is flowing. You know when you are struggling, and you know when grace is flowing. Over time, I realized when grace is flowing. I found out that anytime I stick, in fact, the first time I had this experience, I was supposed to come to the University of Benin to preach shortly after I left school. So my brother said, okay, you'll be our guest minister. We have this particular program. I said, no problem. And being one of my first invitations to travel and come to preach, I took weeks to prepare my message. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little. There a little. I arranged, according to Reverend Chris Okotie, I had a concatenation of revelation. It was well arranged. I actually even printed special paper. I took white paper, folded it in a particular way, stapled it so that it will flow. As I'll begin to speak, now I'm taking my text of scripture from the book of Exodus chapter 2, and then I'll go line by line. It works for some people, it didn't work for this guy. The first day when I got there, I think it was a 2-day program or 3 days. I think it was 2 days, 2 sessions. The first day, I preached, I struggled, I sweated, trying to follow my outline. After about an hour, my time was over. I was glad for the time to be over. Not the one that these days will be telling me, wind up, sir, time. You know, I'm trying to say, okay, it's ready. We'll close on time. Let's go home. I was glad for the time to be over. Finally, when I got there, when I got back to the room and I relaxed, I told one of my friends, I said, what was the message? He said, it was good. I said, are you telling me the truth or you're trying to make me feel good? So I prayed. I said, Lord, what happened? And I don't know how I realized it, but something in my mind said, this is your paper, is the problem. Of course, I don't have to tell you that I have not gone too far in it. I took it and tore it. I spent the next day, days before hours before the program, meditating and praying. When it was time to go to preach in the evening, I said something to the Lord that I will not go with any scrap of paper, not even my Bible. Finally, after the praise, worship, testimonies, prophecies, everything, then I invited me to come off. I got up like that, no Bible. I walked to the front. Just before I got to the front, I just stopped, you know, you're just walking up like this. I just said, please, can I borrow your Bible? The last guy in front, I borrowed his Bible. I dropped it. Can't remember where I started from. Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 5. I read it. I began to preach. One of our most, Egbon now. He came in that day for the meeting. One of our senior brothers. He sat down and his mouth was open throughout. He said, See Banky. His mouth was open throughout. Why? Come on. I was full of the Holy Ghost. I was preached. That is, I was talking. That was when I learned my lesson. So since that time till now, I don't lean on my own understanding. I can go, like I told you, with outline. Like today. I thought today I would talk about how to tap that spirit of faith, how to drink it. Olainka, as you were driving, what I was meditating on, I was remembering Rahab. How did she get her faith? I was remembering this person. And I scribbled it down. Yes, this was how this person got faith. In my mind, yes, when I get there, they go hear scripture today. Look, I have it here. How to demonstrate a sense of value. How to honor the servants that carry the anointing. The sons of oil that we will talk about that time. But since I've been speaking, I've not been able to reach there. And I learned long ago, leave it like that. That is why people listen to you. If you were so ordered, they would listen to somebody else. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. I'm explaining, lean not on your own understanding. Listen, you will get to places you did not plan for.
Amen.
The watchword is, do not lean on your own understanding. You will be established in a country that right now you did not imagine you will visit.
Amen.
The watchword is what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Listen. This one is my mind. You will marry somebody that's at today, and you will marry the fellow in the next 6 months. As of today, you are not greeting the fellow. You don't even like him, really. But you will be so blessed by that marriage.
Amen.
And that's within the next 6 months. So.
Amen.
And as of today, you are not talking to the guy. Okay, must be a woman I'm talking to. Because I've been saying the man. Yes, today you are not talking to him. But believe me, your life is going to be sweet. Oh, I've just given one or two people revelation right now. You should send me an offering when it comes to pass. Listen to me. Some people here, they've sworn that politics is dirty. I'm not going near. It will take a period to convert you, but you are going to be a senator.
Amen.
You know the interesting part? Nobody who said amen is amongst. Yeah, that's it. Because the person I'm talking to will not even say amen. Because all those who said amen, they said yes, it's good. But the fellow I'm talking to said, na joke. It will take God a while, but he will convert you. Amongst those who said amen, listen to me. The dream you have, God is taking you somewhere better and possibly different. You thought you'd be a local government counselor. Say, look at this president, he's talking. I don't know what I heard I said. A president is hoping to be a local government counselor or chairman. There are those who are today. Listen, another one. Yeah, this is strong. This is very strong. They feel there a sense of call to ministry. What is a call to ministry? Yes, your ministry is to buy, sell, manufacture, employ. You will be a billionaire.
Amen.
Right now, you are planning to go to Bible school. Say, God, just watch. Just watch. Say, the best I will do for you is I will give you money to build Bible schools for people. But you are not going. I hope you are finding my point.
Yes, sir.
Some people have made up their minds, and nothing wrong with it, that this country is a good country. I'm not going anywhere. Because they say it 10 times. I am locating you in Europe. Your branch will be in America and Nigeria. I know you will feel bad when I do it, but that's what's going to happen to you. You will be an international citizen. Your plan very different. But the one I have, far superior. I hope you are getting my point. Faith is not used to establish our own desires. Faith is used to say to God, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That is what faith does. Faith says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's what I'm explaining to us today. Listen to me. God has a plan for your life and he thinks. Listen, as an engineer, God is drawing circuits for you.
Amen.
I read the story of R.J. Lotonou. R.J. Lotonou said one day he went to church. They were very busy. They had men's fellowship or something. He got back home. He was tired. He lay down to sleep. Suddenly, it was almost like a vision. But for him, it was an idea. An idea dropped in his head. He got up, ran to his study. And began to sketch. He began to sketch. He sketched and sketched till morning. In the morning, when he went to work, he gave his engineers, look at the next machine we are building. How did he get it? It was revelation. He said it took the engineers weeks to put down proper engineering drawings. The next generation of machines they began to build in his factory, he got it by revelation. Struggle will not get you far in life as a believer. You have to learn how to receive from God. I hope you get the point I'm making. What I'm emphasizing to us today is this issue of do not lean on your own understanding. Know one thing, if you focus on God's word, which is real spirituality, the word will go out and go and arrange. Remember that scripture from Isaiah chapter 34? It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail, neither will any lack its meat. He said, because when the mouth of the Lord has spoken, his spirit goes out to gather. So God can say, it shall be well with you. That's all he says. That it shall be well with you means that the ailment that was disturbing you, tomorrow, somebody will have a brilliant medical idea and they will call and say, listen, this is the solution, we have found it. You are still thinking you will fast and pray. And tomorrow somebody says, that one is not a problem, we have already solved it. Why? Because the word says, it shall be well with you. So the spirit says, come on, where is the wellness? Where is the wellness? It comes back and it gathers it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. Listen, God plans. He plans. He plans. He has business ideas that you do not, as of today, know exists. I was saying earlier, that's why, you see, every news you hear is designed to do something to your soul by the devil. They jack up the price of fuel. You now put your head down. And start wondering, what is this country coming to? Let me tell you what this country is coming to. It's coming to good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you what this country is coming to. It's coming to open doors for you.
Amen.
Listen. When those days they said, save up money so you can build a house. I said, why? They said, price of land is going up. You know what I said to them? I said, do I look like I'm going down? Let me give you a prophetic word. For every doubling in price of fuel, your own income will double that. I don't know whether I get my point. That's how to look at life. They say, quickly buy land. People make me laugh sometimes. They take precious money they need for other things to buy land in the bush. They say, why? I say, it will appreciate in value. That's unbelieving thinking. If you are not a land real estate developer, you are not a speculator by profession, forget it. What did I say? Tell your neighbor, forget it.
Forget
say, it. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
This is how the story goes. When I first came to Enugu, the land around here was 500,000. They said I should buy at that time. I did not buy. But now, look at it now. That same land is 75 million last week. Hey! God, if only I had bought. The man doesn't know. That time you did not have 500,000. You did not have. Now, did you have? If you really believe it, let me show you where tomorrow will be 500 million and today it's only going for 1 million. I can take you there. No, sometimes in life it can be confusing. You sit there and wonder, what if, let me give you the perspective of a believer today. And this is how I used to answer people. They said this land is 500,000 to do. It can be 10 million in the next few years. And I also said to them, that 10 million that time will be easier for me to acquire than 500,000 today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's exactly what the Lord meant when he said, do not take thoughts about tomorrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or which land we shall buy. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, I have personally experienced when people were saving up money to buy cars, I said, I don't have money. I said, what I need is to be able to hire all the drivers in Lagos to drive me. As I come down from one bus, I call the next driver, stop, and he stops and enter his bus, and I pay them bit by bit. And I did it successfully. The first car I got was a gift, was a wedding present. The next one I bought was cash. Take, this is money. It got to a point, I will be honest with you. I bought and dashed it to people several times, not once. Oh, this is my friend, we need a car. Baby, we can afford that now. Bro, take, buy a car, drive. The time came. There was a time all I could do was pay Lagos taxes and Lagos buses. That time is over. Amen?
Amen.
Buy a house, buy a bit, save up money so that they'll come and give you business. One man used to come to me in Lagos that time. I should be giving 500 naira every month. Insurance. Sell life insurance. I told him, I'm not going to die. You can be sure of that. He said, no, it's not about dying. That if after 15 years, you didn't die, which I wasn't going to die, we'll pay you back. I forgot how much he said. Maybe like 150,000. Yes, I think something like that. He said it will have acquired the accumulated this interest and all of that. Show me the complex interest. I said, after 15 years, you give me 150, or let's even assume 250,000.
I said, eh. Right now, my salary was 6,000 naira a month. So I'll give you a tithe. What are you, Melchizedek? Of the money I'm earning, so that you will give me, let's say, 200,000 naira in 15 years' time. I said, do you know what 200,000 will be in 15 years' time? To me. He tried to persuade me. I said, don't worry. At that time, 200,000 naira will not be money. And the truth is that by that time, I was using that amount for offering. After 15 years, they did it to my father. They did it to my father. One day, my father went to collect insurance that he saved for 20 years. It was 2,000 naira. You know the truth? You know the truth? You know, my mother was grumbling that, look at it, nonsense money. But she forgot that. When he began it, it was, you know, £1, you know, that kind of thing. And £2,000 that time was huge money. I don't know whether I get the point. So by the time the man wanted to collect his insurance, we were still children at that time. I only knew because my mother would complain about it forever. Because I was very young, I thought my father did something foolish. I did not know that it was not his fault. It's called inflation. It's called inflation. It was not the man's fault. Even Jesus said it, moth does destroy, and things do break in and steal. Moth destroy the money after saving £1. Of course, started with £1. Because this was when they were still using pounds. He used £1 today, £1. The man accumulating that, if I don't die before 20 years, it'll be £2,000. By the time he finally got the 2,000, I have to say, I'm not sure if the thing could buy tires for his car. No, think about it. That car, I'm telling you, but when he bought the car, it was 6,600 naira. So cars were, it was cheaper. So you can imagine how valuable 2,000 was years before that. But by the time he finally got the 2,000, he couldn't change his car. What is it? It could not. If he sold that car as cheap, he would have gotten nothing less than 10,000. I just remembered it now. That's the interesting part. I just remembered the thing. One man now came later and said, he will give me 150. Was it 150 or 200? I can't even remember. But I told him, listen, my friend, in 15 years, this will not be money to me. And as a matter of fact, by the time 15 years came, you wouldn't give me that amount of money and I would lose sleep over it. Lean not on what? Your own understanding. Let me summarize my mind. What have I said today? This is what I preached today. In summary, faith is not we dream up an idea and we stick up on the wall and start saying, God, bring this one to pass, bring this one to pass. No, we can dream up ideas, it's good. You should keep busy. Dream all kinds of rubbish dreams. But what do you put on the wall? Put on the word of God. For example, Psalm 23, very perfect. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word has sense. That word knows how to create employment. That word knows how to create businesses. Put it on the wall. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger. Those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. That word can think. You put them and say, imagine that you are going to have 10 customers. At the end of the day, this one will happen. Don't put it like that. Just write them. In all that I do, I prosper. The word knows the meaning of prosperity. It can generate customers. Please, don't put up your own ideas on the wall and focus on them day and night. That is not spirituality. That's spiritualism. That is using the common laws of the spiritual realm to accomplish results. And that is not how to walk by grace. It has to be by faith if it's going to be in accordance with grace. What is real faith? Real faith means my imagination is not my idea, but the word of God. Real faith means when I want to put something on the wall, I put the word there. And I trust that that word will create my own inheritance for me. I hope you've gotten my point. Next time, hopefully, I'll be able to go into the next message, the one I told you I had planned for today, to talk about how do we get to drink that substance of faith. Because, listen to me, let me ask you a simple question. If you are thirsty, what do you do? You drink water, I know. But okay, if you are thirsty here, will you drink water as you are sitting down? What do? You get up, you go to where water is stored, and you go and fetch it and drink it. That's how faith is. If you discover something is lacking, like I said earlier, there are many signs you used to know that faith is down. In the last 3 months, you've fallen sick six times.
you that one whole year will pass and sickness couldn't knock you down. It's a sign faith is down. You hear a fuel price increase, your heart trembles. Faith is down. You know what you do? You go to the fridge where faith is kept. You go and fetch it and drink it. That is somewhere what I want to teach. All right? How to locate where faith is kept. There was a message you listened to. And the day you listened to that message, the sickness that was disturbing you for weeks, you got angry and the sickness left you. Now you've been falling sick regularly in the last 3 months. What do? Go to the fridge. Locate that same tip. Bring it out. Put it there. I know you have heard it before. It's when we think faith is a method that we say, I've heard this one before. It's not a method. The word is the instrument, is the medium through which God pours a spirit into us. I take it a ladder and then put it over my ears, close my eyes, and let it play 3-4 times. Whether I've heard it before, even if I can preach it along with the preacher, what is actually happening that a spirit is being poured? Whether I feel like it or not, you get up, you leave the place. The word that has entered has poured spirit into you again. That is the spirit of faith. That thing will rise up. Take the word you heard about healing. It will take it, mix it, boost your immunity, kick every virus out of your system. Every time now you don't have money to do everything you want to do. Your business is not moving forward. No money. Ah! Lie down and remember. A few years ago, I listened to this set of messages. It appeared like the economy improved. It was not the economy. It was the world working. It appeared as if economy was improving. That was the time you got a job. And you thought it was the job. I've come here to tell you today, it was not the job. It was the world working. You still have that same job. How come you're not that happy anymore? Go and take that word. Are you getting my point? Take a weekend. Faith has gone down. That's what the problem is. Drink from that fridge where that water is kept. Watch it over the next few weeks. Abundance will come to you. You will wonder where it came from. Doors that you thought were closed, they will begin to open to you. Business idea will jump into your head. Favor will come to you. Somebody who borrowed money from you 3 years ago, you have forgotten totally about, he will knock on your door and say, I'm sorry. Here's your money with interest. You know why? Because the word thinks. Once the word of the Lord is issued forth, his spirit goes out to do what? To gather. Let's bow our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks. As I was speaking, I know God was speaking to each individual. Begin to respond to the very word that was spoken to you. That one that was your own. Say, Lord, I cast down my own understanding. There are plans that look good. You don't even want to throw them away. Just say, Lord, I refuse to lean on them. This is my 4-year development plan. Lord, that's just a human plan. Say, many are the devices, the plans in the heart of a man. But only the counsel of God will stand in my life. Say, Lord, every device that's not yours will not stand. Declare that in the name of Jesus. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Say, only the counsel of God will stand in my life. Declare it. Say, only the counsel of God will stand. Let's rise to our feet. We're closing. Let's rise to our feet. Let's continue. We are still praying. I begin to declare. You can use my own words or speak whichever one you like. Say, no matter what I hear, I will not be afraid. Begin to declare it. Say, no matter what I hear outside, I will not be afraid. I will be cheerful. I will be joyful. I rejoice. I don't care what the price of fuel is. I don't care what other people are saying. Only the plan of God will stand in my life. In this country, only the plan of God will stand. I declare in the name of Jesus, I am not afraid. I am joyful. I am cheerful. I am happy. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be afraid. Only the plan of God will stand in my life. Begin to declare it. Declare it. Say, no matter what I have planned, only the plan of God will stand in my life. Say, Lord, I'm ready to walk into any place that you ordained for me to walk into. Say, Lord, I am ready. Take me there. I yield my destiny to you again. You are the Lord of my destiny. Many times, the reason why God has not been able to prosper some people here is simply because they are leaning on their understanding. God said, I need to move you from where you are to another place. You say, no, I'm not moving. It is this place I must be, and God will bless me. Repent today. Say, Lord, I'm ready for breakthrough. He said, you have circled this mountain long enough. Oh yeah, begin to turn and move northwards. Say, in the name of Jesus, take me to the north. Take me to my north. Take me to my north. Let us give him thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the power of your spirit working in our lives. Lord, grace is taking us somewhere. In the name of Jesus Christ. I just feel like saying this, all right? Just listen to this. The regulation, know the regulation. I feel like telling you a little story. Babangida in the 80s, one day decided he was starting structural adjustment program instigated by International Monetary Fund, IMF. And Nigeria said, no, don't take the money, don't take the money, don't take the money. And as soon as he did it, when he started the structural adjustment program, dollar before that time was like 1 to 2 naira to the dollar, all right? It began to climb steadily. And I remember one of my friends, who were classmates, he said to me that his lecturer in university said that we should watch it, that naira will reach 10 naira to the dollar. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? That it was a matter of, watch it, guys, I'm telling you, it will reach 10 naira, because we said impossible, impossible, because that time he had crawled to 4 naira to the dollar. Things were spiraling out of control. Everybody with a fixed salary was in trouble. Both of my parents were civil servants, so I know what I'm talking about. So Nigerians remember it with a lot of pain, structural adjustment program. But there's a part of it few people ever talk about. That was the first time Nigerians became millionaires in their thousands. That was the first time my little cousins, whose fathers had cocoa farms, were buying things that those of us who are civil servant parents, all right, could only be leaking out when we see. That was when the average farmer will enter his farm, harvest cocoa, harvest coffee, and buy a car with it. That was when suddenly all the commodity boards, like Olufala explained once, they dissolved all of them. You could get up and you no longer needed an export permit to export anything. You did not need an import license to import anything. There was liberalization of the markets. That was when Nigerians became rich, a lot of Nigerians. Many banks started, many failed. But that was when Nigerians started owning banks. Five people could now gather together and say, let's start our own bank. That was when banks like Guaranty Trust started. Many banks failed. But today, the biggest banks in Nigeria, apart from First Bank, that was when they started. All them Zenith, Guaranty Trust, and Co. Many have gone down, but that was when many started. You know what I'm going to tell to you? In the midst of adversity, choose the side you are on.
Yes.
You can be among those who decided that Buhari wants us to die. We can't marry all want to die. You can be among those who say, hey, now this foreign, now all this control of NNPC. Now we cannot do business. You cannot be among those who say, hey, at least in a short while we can have a small refineries. Why does Enugu have to ship fuel from Port Harcourt and everywhere? Why can't we pump crude up here too? This is when such thoughts start entering your head. You can sit down there and be complaining that we are dead, we are dead, we are dead. But I've told the story of SAP to let you know. That was when many men began to leave. All these banks were queuing up and giving offering special seat, tithe, first fruit to be able to get job and promotion inside. That was when they started. Many companies that will thrive in Nigeria, this is when they are going to start.
Amen.
Listen, with you it shall be well.
Amen.
With you it will be well.
Amen.
Please start your business. What did I say?
Start your.
It's not everybody that will buy and sell. Everybody, they are different. Sometimes it's your ministry is your business, in quote. Start something. God is not waiting for the government to help your life. God says, you go and help government. All this noise. And NPC cannot maintain refineries. Dangote is building the single largest refinery in the world. I hope you know. Who is helping government? You will help government.
Amen.
You will reduce unemployment.
Amen.
You will give scholarships.
Amen.
You will build universities.
Amen.
You will build a school with football field.
Amen.
All these small, small ones inside flat. It don't do. When we were in school, we ran 4x400. I played football. My classmates played hockey. My teachers used to play lawn tennis inside the school compound. We had a volleyball court. We had a literal farm. Every school now is in a flat, and they call it international school. Listen, you will build a school with football field.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, your school will have a football field.
Amen.
That is, it is so big. And listen to me, it will really be international.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks again, because good is our portion. Good is our portion. We are not failures. Economy, look, we are helping Nigeria. We are not here to depend on anybody. We are helping the country. Father, we give you thanks. Just thank him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share grace together. I want to go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, I want us to say that last portion again. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, share our brethren.